association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 104 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. With me I have Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Good morning.
For a little bit limited
evening.
Period
Whatever.
Of time. Robert Haynes in and out because he's not sort of here all the time. He just keeps on disappearing into some sort of unknown place. Reese Parton, whose connection hopefully is a bit more reliable,
and
Ben Shoveler, who is promised me to be on full comedy form this week.
Do you know what? It's funny because that heavy breathing is only because I just looked at a picture of Holly Valance.
And without further ado, and some other podcasters nicked that catchphrase that I created many, many eons ago.
Without further ado, do you know what? I'm thinking that phrase was probably thought up before you said it on the podcast.
Nobody before me did it. Without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. Nobody did it before me. But everybody's using it.
Without further ado.
Yes. We're talking about initially Bad Wolf, which begins...
And the Parting of the Ways.
No, just Bad Wolf, and then we'll move on to Parting of the Ways in a minute. Hang on, got wind. Pardon me. Right, so it starts off with a little bit of flashback, and then the Doctor lands in the Big Brother house. I have to say, the Big Brother has improved quite considerably since the Doctor landed in it, but then this is supposed to be in the future, but I doubt very much they'll still be using that theme tune. And Davina McCall, of course, is not on anymore, so that was a bit of a lack in...
The one thing I was thinking of when watching this, though, even back when I first saw it, is if you're not familiar with the Big Brother house and the fact that it's a game show on TV, how are you supposed to know what's going on? I saw the first season of the American version of Big Brother, in season because American.
And it's a television show.
Oh, goodness.
Was it spring or summer?
So I was aware of what was going on, but...
Surely it's going to be more confusing to people when they see The Weakest Link and Trinian...
No, I knew that too.
Those make sense, absolutely. Oh, okay. The Weakest Link is obviously a quiz show, with people being vaporized, and...
obviously, yeah.
And the other, they make... Captain Jack makes specific references to, is this being televised to billions of people? Yes, it is.
Okay. So
you get the idea of what's going on anyway.
Okay. Well, in reference to the Big Brother side of it, the studio they created was extremely pokey and small, but I suppose where there were supposed to be hundreds of these studios, I suppose that's acceptable. Yeah. I'm not really bothered about it. But it was all right. I mean, I just thought it was a bit, at the time, I'm still a Big Brother fan, but what I thought was particularly good, the only thing I did like was the logo they used for Big Brother, which was a logo they hadn't used up to that point on Big Brother, but have actually since used. And I thought, well, apart from little stars.
Save
thing,
us.
But they actually created it for the show.
Yeah, and then they moved. Then they used it later on, a few years after this, without the little galaxy thing in the eyepiece. Moving
You're the
on.
You're the only one who knows that, though, Adam, because no one else watches Big Brother in this country anymore.
No, be quiet.
Or this one.
It literally is viewing figures, Adam Pearson and
family. Shut up. Anyway,
it's been absent from Australian TV for a couple of years, but it's coming back in the last year.
Believe me, I do not want to be dwelling on Big Brother on this particular section of the show.
No, we don't.
Anyway, right. So Rose wakes up in a studio for Weakest Link.
You are the Weakest Link. Goodbye.
And Captain Jack wakes up in a sort of look like a dentist surgery with
Trinian Susanna.
Bots. which obviously these next few scenes are quite light-hearted. You don't realise the jeopardy they're in until the first of the contestants. I think, is it a Big Brother contestants gets vaporised or is it the Weakest Link one gets vaporised? I can't remember.
It's one of them anyway.
It was Weakest Link, yeah. Of course, we meet Matt Patterson Joseph, who is that right?
Yes.
Who's one of the candidates for a doctor, to play the doctor. Which got me thinking.
Candidates? What's an
candidates?
Candidates.
A candidate. Pardon my hearing.
Now, I will come back at a later date in the idea of a black actor playing the Doctor. I wouldn't personally choose Patterson Joseph to play the Doctor if I was going to choose a black actor. But then I was trying to think who I would actually choose.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, for God's sake. He's not an actor, for goodness. And he's American.
So?
No, you've got to find an American actor who can do a satisfactory British accent if you can have someone playing the Doctor.
So he might be able to. We haven't heard him try it.
I thought he did a great job as the Marquis de Carabas in Neverwhere. So
Stevie Wonder?
No. Patterson Joseph.
Oh, right. Okay.
Why don't they get Barack Obama? He's going to be out of a job in November.
Can he act?
If you watch that thing with him and David Cameron last week saying how great they both are and how much they love each other, yes, quite clearly.
Oh, God.
He's been learned cricket as well.
Yes. So, somebody, where are we? Basically, they're just sort of in doing these scenes in the Big Brother house. I didn't mention the Doctor. I can't speak English all of a sudden. The Doctor has very much got the sort of what Ben would like being in the Big Brother house sort of attitude. He sort of can't be arsed with it sort of thing. whereas Rose sort of starts off all laughing and joking on the set of The Weakest Link until somebody gets vaporised.
That was actually pretty awkward watching it this time around, actually.
What, seeing her laughing?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I knew what was happening.
And then, of course, John Barrowman gets the opportunity to show his bottom.
He does.
Wow.
I like that line.
Like to
it.
The crew.
You think he was bothered about that, then?
No, I do not. He absolutely relished in it.
Oh, I'm going to get my arse out.
He had that good line, though, like, am I naked in front of millions of viewers? Yeah. Ladies, your viewing figures just went up.
Yeah.
Did he say billion?
Did he mean the viewing figures have just gone up or something else? Was he being innuendo?
It's probably Captain Innuendo. He is probably Captain Innuendo, isn't he? Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
They've got this, we first see this strange little woman with spaghetti coming out of her. The controller, is she, or something like that, is she? Who really wasn't actually...
Yeah, Controller. She's called Controller.
Yeah, she's not... Who actually really wasn't the Controller.
I'm not sure it was spaghetti.
Well, what was it then?
They were like tubes of some kind.
Oh, glow sticks, like they do at carnivals. Is it what it was?
Information cables.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cat 5 cables.
You missed quite a bit, though.
Did I? Go on, then.
That quite like a jump.
On Weakest Link, one of the...
they mentioned Torchwood, yes. One of the answers was Torchwood.
It's built on the remains. Did you notice, because he talks about on the remains of which old Earth Institute?
Yes.
So, obviously he knew he was going to blow up Torchwood, didn't he? Back then.
Did he?
Because they were in the future, so Torchwood had effectively then been blown up.
Yes.
In the past.
Yeah, because... Yeah.
You mean Russell T. Davis knew he was going to blow up Torchwood at some point? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe, yes.
Yes, okay, fair enough.
Well, he probably didn't think it would go on forever.
Yeah.
Well, Torchwood was built on the remains of that place that he mentioned. Great, I thought that Torchwood got blown up at the other place.
Okay.
And you missed the bit about Jack when he's posing and Trini or Susanna says, it's the buccaneer look, a little dash of pirate and just a tweak of President Schwarzenegger.
And
how did that bit get past the censors with Jack running his hands over the droid's breasts, honestly.
And also pulling a gun from his body.
Yeah.
I was just
with not a stain on
it. He didn't actually see the gun physically get removed from his...
But there was nowhere else it could come from.
No, right.
And I'm no expert at this, but I'm sure if you pull something out of that area, it's not going to be particularly clean.
Well, maybe
That would have been comedy value if he'd have pulled it out. And, right then, lady, didn't try to shoot it.
Maybe he had some hand sanitizer up there as well that he could put on his hand.
10 minutes in and we're already puerile.
No, we're trying to...
No, normally doesn't take that long.
Anyway.
No.
Yeah, so we get the flashback about all the mentions of Bad Wolf throughout the whole series. I think they did actually miss out a couple, to be honest with you.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I have to look to find out where they all are. Let's see.
I'll tell you what. Let's watch the entire series one again and make notes.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. The Doctor escapes from the Big Brother house after realising that they're not going to, when he gets evicted, they're not going to kill him, basically. So he's able to just get himself out and Linda with a Y.
I like Linda with a Y.
Who plays?
I don't think there's a person on the planet who doesn't like Linda with a Y. She was very cute.
And she's in EastEnders and plays a character.
Is she?
Oh.
Yeah, she's been in EastEnders for about 5 years, playing Max Branning's wife in EastEnders.
Oh, that's her!
Yes, it is.
Right.
What do you mean? Oh, good God.
Anyway, so they escape. I quite like the bit where Rose, I know it's a bit later on, but they eventually sort of, they meet up with Captain Jack fairly quickly after the Doctor escapes, and then they go on a hunt for Rose, and the Doctor realises they're on satellite, I never remember the number.
Five.
Yeah. Satellite five. That's an old song by the Inspiral Carp. It's called Saturn Five, which I cleverly changed a name to.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, so the Captain Jack, you say about he gets the gun out to and destroys the two robots just about when they're about to remove his face with some chainsaw implement, which I suppose when I said it looked a bit like a dentist surgery, I suppose that's probably why.
Yeah.
I felt don't use chainsaws in dentist surgeries.
Not
yet.
We're
doing the ones I go to, which is why I've got no teeth.
Yeah, it depends if it's the dentist surgeries that people like Janet Street Porter go to or not, really. But, yeah, I didn't...
Do people actually go to the dentist in the UK?
Generally, yes.
Because judging by a lot of actors that I see...
Hold on, let's get this right. Let's get this right, okay? In Britain, we have to pay for our dental
I don't. I'm on NHS. I get my dental treatment
No, but
free.
You still have to pay for it, though, Adam. You don't get it completely free.
I do. I don't get I pay absolutely
You don't
nothing.
Have to pay for anything?
No.
Nothing at
we
all?
You have to pay
nothing
here, at all. Too.
Pardon?
Yeah, but you have dental have insurance.
No.
And I haven't been since... No, I don't have dental insurance.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking to me. What? This is a blooming Doctor Who podcast, not a blooming dentist podcast.
What's
going on? It's like having Leisha back on the show.
Yeah,
only
but
four
I'm,
times
I'm
over.
Sticking up for the Brits here, because we have a bad rep around the world for our dodgy teeth.
It's only because people like Paul Cornell end up on Doctor Who DVD back extras talking about stuff with his rather... strange teeth.
I'm not the best one to be trying to, you know, save the UK's reputation for teeth, considering I literally do have six that are my own these
I've
days.
I've got 31 of them.
I'm only well, you've got 31 of my teeth.
No!
I don't know what you're doing. Are you the tooth fairy? What's going on?
You're not TBH!
Can we get back to Doctor Who, please?
We'll have to finish off the tooth discussion later.
Yes.
Tooth and claw.
Yeah.
Just as long as you remember.
So what I'm saying, the doctor then meets up with the control woman thingy-jig, whatever it is. I can't remember what's going on there. Yeah, I'm interested also that some of the props used were the same that were used in the... what was the episode that Adam...
Long Game.
Yeah. Like that, the bits where they put their hands on.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's the same place.
I know it is. I know, but I'm happy. I'm just saying it was good that they did that.
Remember, it's 100 years on from the events of The Long Game.
So it's 200-100.
Yes. And Captain Jack does his second bit of flirting with a bloke in this series of Doctor Who. When he flirts with the chap with the tie, who's one of the... Is he one of the controllers, the TV channel controllers or something like that? I don't know.
I'd say he was controller's assistant.
And it's around now they realise that the Daleks are sort of around, because when Rose...
You were talking about
dentists, a bit where Rose runs away from...
Rose doesn't go to the dentist.
No, will you shut up? She runs away from the weakest link thing and gets what the doctor thinks at the time is killed, because she has a pile of powder on the ground, and the doctor does a particularly good, very upset scene. Because he generally does think that she's gone.
You missed out some lovely lines, though.
Yeah.
Like when Jack meets Linda and Jack says, "Nice to meet you, Linda Moss." And the doctor says, "Do you mind flirting outside?" And Jack said, "I was just saying hello."
I know I'm going to miss out a few lines because Kirby's got to go in about half an hour, and I've got to try and fit two episodes into the time period. Yeah.
I can't believe it's 27 years to work.
Magic!
Woman,
oh, he's not in here. He's outside.
You know those guards, though, that capture them. You know how he says you'll be taken from this place to the lunar penal colony? That's a bit of a direct link to Frontier in Space when the Doctor ended up in the lunar
I feel like I need
colony.
To go to the loony colony, let alone the lunar penal colony at the moment.
I think John Barrowman would quite like ending up in the Lunar Penal
Colony. Yeah, but I'd say that the way Eccleston played the when Rose was apparently killed scene was absolutely spot on.
Yeah. I think superb.
The way he ran his fingers through the dust was so emotional.
Yes. Anyway, that's sort of I'll allow you to carry on talking because I'm getting a bit of a tense, nervous headache, and I'm sure Robert wants to go over a few more lines that I've missed while I go and move my wife from one customer to the next one, and I'll let the dogs in and hopefully they'll behave themselves. So please carry on, and I'll come back, and then hopefully there'll be enough time to talk about the second part of this story. Carry
on. I would have probably done it all by then. Right then, so where have we got to? We've got to the part where are we going to go straight to where the doctor then went upstairs? And
No. Because you missed out the bit when the doctor does a bit of a John Pertwee type of doctor when he knocks that guard out.
Oh, yeah, they have the bit where
they... Slams him into the cage door. That was pretty violent, wasn't it?
They had a bit of comedy violence in there. It wasn't anything too over the top,
not
really.
Not this doctor. I can see him doing that.
Just 7 o'clock, you know.
But he didn't say, hi!
No, he should have given a hiya, or was that Batfink? I can't remember.
Hi.
But yes, they certainly escaped quite quickly and quite easily from the detention centre that they were held in. They were pretty rubbish, weren't they?
Yeah, that's the point of them.
And then they decided to make their way. That's where he went upstairs, wasn't it, to go and try and find the controller.
So I love the way he loads the gun and gets it ready to use it, but then he just hands it to the guy and says, "Oh,
yeah, like I was going to use it."
Yeah.
That was very good. And then the other comedy line in that bit was where the chap was stood there holding the gun, which was obviously was quite a big, heavy contraption. He didn't want to use it either. He said, can I put this down?
Yeah. Also, then Jack shakes hands with him and says, "Hello, I'm Captain Jack." And the doctor just says, "There's a time and place."
Yeah, and of course, for the whole of the last minute or so of the program, you'd had the controller sitting there saying that there was going to be a solar flare in a certain amount of partex or anthrams or whatever they were talking about in time and units of time. And obviously after that bit, that was kind of making you think, why is this important? Why? What does the solar flare mean? And then obviously we find out the solar flare knocks out all of the disguising signals that they're sending. And so that's the time that she can then kind of like say to the doctor, "Hold on a minute. My masters have been in control of this place for a long old time." And also, missed a bit where...
"Can kill me, for I have brought your destruction."
That's a bit in the future. But we missed a bit also where Linda and why the doctor went into that room and Linda saw the Earth. And we had the whole fourth and bountiful Great Human Empire bit, which should have been on. But obviously, the doctor realised that by going... The last time he was there, he changed history again. And the Earth had turned out not as it should have done. And of course, later on, you had the bit where the doctor kind of like said, "Well, maybe I should just leave them to do it. Maybe I should just let history play out this time and not get involved." And it was the big device thing that he was trying to kill everyone at the end of Parting of the Ways with. Yeah, but anyway.
Remembering what you said, though, Ben, you were saying the doctor can see all space and time. If we go back to that, he knows that it shouldn't have worked out with the Daleks then, should it?
No, exactly right. I mean, he knows everything. He even knows what the secret
ingredient is. So that means he must have had to get involved.
Your point being?
That if we're talking about your logic from last week.
Don't ever apply logic to Doctor Who, but carry on.
That means the people in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy should have just asked him for the answers to life, the universe and everything.
Yeah.
And he could have said 42.
Douglas Adams could have written it into one of his Doctor Who scripts and no one would have known what he was talking about, but at least would have had the answer.
I think he did, didn't he?
Well, he wrote the word 42 in a Doctor Who script. I'm going to have to watch them all back again. Anyway, back to Bad Wolf. So then...
Actually, there was 42 episode next series.
Yes, there was.
Oh, series 3, yes.
Yeah.
So you get the doctor going upstairs, talking to the controller. The controller spills the beans about the fact that she's not actually in charge of it, but her masters are in charge of it.
Did he fart?
Who, the doctor?
He just said he spilled the beans. My goodness.
I'm not even going to mention.
Oh, that guy's name was Devich Paval. That was the guy's flirting.
What a name.
Oh, what, the bloke who was under the controller, if you like.
Yes. Yes, the doctor says there's a time and a place.
Now, obviously, they go upstairs, and this is where Captain Jack goes into the room that no one was allowed to go into. They were banned from going into it, which, again, isn't something you'd expect him not to do. And he finds the TARDIS, and he works out pretty quickly that TARDIS has worked out what's going on with the transmat beam. And that, in fact, Rose hasn't been disintegrated, but she's just been temporarily moved to somewhere else. And at that point, you see Rose wake up and a few of them.
I thought that was Sam well, though, because all you just see is the big close-up of Rose, and you can hear the throb, the humming of the Dalek ship, and then they bring it back so that you can see where she is. I thought it was done well.
If it hadn't been from the for the preview from the previous week's episode, you might not have known.
I can show that.
And so then Rose has a bit of conflab with the Daleks, and they work out that if they, Captain Jack works out that if you just reverse the transmat beam, it brings people back. And he does that thing with Linda with a Y, who's now in EastEnders, so I didn't realise. And he transfers her from one side of the room to the other without seeing her. And everyone celebrates at a party in French fantasy. Yay. Especially the pink ones.
I didn't catch that bit.
Didn't you? Oh, that must have just been on the British version.
Okay.
So then they've worked that out, and then the controller then tries to give the doctor the rest of the information that the controller wasn't able to give the doctor in the solar flare. But obviously now that the systems are back up and running again, the controller then gets taken away by her masters, who then we realise are those damn Daleks, and exterminated and delivers the following line.
My masters, you can kill me, for I have brought your destruction. Did I do that okay?
You did that okay.
It was definitely.
And then what's that to hear?
As she gets exterminated.
They actually came through and exterminated someone. How unusual.
As Captain Jack says at the end. I can't.
They did what?
So anyway.
Oh, I love that line, yes.
Back on board Satellite 5, whatever it's called at this day and age. Where have we got to? They've done, she's got shot, and then that's it. Then the Daleks make contact with the Doctor and everyone else back on Satellite 5, basically saying, right, this is our plan. We've been here for years.
The Daleks were saying about what they're going to do, and the Doctor said, no.
No.
They're wondering what the hell.
It's still going to happen.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come and rescue you, and after I've rescued you, I'm going to destroy every single one of you, mother... No, he didn't.
I'm going to wipe out every last stinking Dalek out of the sky. What happens to the ones not in the sky, though? And what happens to the ones that aren't stinking?
That's true, the ones that have just got out of the Dalek shower.
Yeah. And so there's a bit of a problem with that.
There is. But we'll skip over that, though, if you don't mind, because stinky Dalek. Not something.
But wasn't that a good scene, though, when you see all those ships in the sky? I mean, that was just...
Of course, when they zoom out and there's hundreds and thousands and millions of Dalek ships.
The music there was impressive because, as I said before, Murray only had a couple of friends to come and sing the choir parts, but also he had his synthesizer, and he just kind of echoed the singing parts and made several copies of the same track to make it sound like he had a whole choir there, which was very impressive.
It was, yes, and we saw all the Daleks, ship and fleet, and the Doctor vowing to go and rescue Rose, and the brilliant bit at the end there where he's saying, you know, the Dalek says, oh, you have no weapons, no plan.
I know.
That's what scares you to death. Scares you to death. And then end of episode, Bad Wolf. As then we move on to the parting of the ways.
I love it that the Daleks say, begin the invasion of Earth. And he's going, the Dalek invasion of Earth, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, someone should make a film called that. So anyway, on to parting of the ways, which picks up exactly as...
The farting of the ways, what?
The farting of the ways, yes. These are the smelly Daleks.
The ones that the doctors are going to kill.
Yes, exactly. Of course, Christopher Eccleston's last episode. Let's all just have a minute's silence for Christopher Eccleston. That'll do. So or this picks off as the Dalek...
Reese calls him Mr. Eccles Cake.
Mr. Eccles Cake, yeah. That would be very amusing. Yeah. Could be very amusing. Just isn't. Of course, yes, we'll pick
up... be amusing. It's be affectionate.
Affectionate. Calling someone a cake.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So anyway... Parting of the way starts with the Dalek speech heading towards Earth, and you've got Doctor and Jack in the TARDIS, and they're flying towards the Dalek mothership, and of course you get that scene where you get the two missiles shot from the Dalek fleet, and the TARDIS uses some evasive manoeuvres to try and...
I thought the TARDIS was indestructible, though. What happened?
Well, it can't be indestructible, because if it was indestructible, how come later in the series, and a different series of it, you know, with Donna inside it, it's being destroyed by the Daleks then, as they've dipped it down into the big...
I'm just taking on Kirby's pedantry, because they used to say that...
Well, it's kept out the assembled hordes of Genghis Khan.
It has.
Assembled?
You go.
Yeah. Oh, hordes.
Hordes. Yeah, not hordes.
Assembled hordes of Genghis Khan. Six of them.
Hordes.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, then we get the Doctor and Jack landing the TARDIS over Rose and the Dalek, which is a very
good effect too.
Very neat. Yeah, the way that the Doctor and Rose was looking at the Doctor, and he was kind of like there but not there to start with, and she materialised inside the TARDIS, which is very clever. And I'm not sure actually the physics of that, but we'll skip over that bit because we could be talking about that for a long, long time. Anyway.
That was established back in the classic era that the TARDIS could do that.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about the physiology of it, to be honest with you.
It's a science fiction show.
Oh, I'll let it go then. That's fine. That's all I needed to know. Anyway, so then Doctor and Jack land over Rose. They shoot the Dalek with a, "Get down, Rose!" I mean,
you missed something because...
Oh, have I? Sorry.
Wasn't it handy of the Dalek to say exterminate before shooting towards the Doctor?
Yes, it is. It was very nice of them.
Why not just shoot and then
shoot
ask questions
first and announce later?
Shoot first and ask questions later,
exterminate. And yet again, we go back to the old argument that I think has been disproved many times about weapons not being able to work in the TARDIS, because obviously the Dalek fires and then Captain Jack fires. But I think after Peter Davison's Doctor Who, didn't they say that actually wasn't... an actual effect of...
I think the 11th Doctor... No, I think the 11th Doctor said something about, I just made that up.
Let's kill Hitler.
Precisely. Yeah.
But I can retcon that by saying the TARDIS is psychically linked with the Doctor. If he wants a gun to be fired, then it can be.
Yeah.
Well, did he want the Dalek to fire at him then?
That's a good point.
No, he was firing at Jack.
Anyway, they have a bit of an argument with the Daleks, and of course then they find out that the Dalek Emperor, who describes himself as the god of all Daleks, so he obviously thinks a little bit of himself. He's not backwards in coming forwards, is he? It's just kind of how we rebuild all the Daleks.
You missed something else, though.
Oh, God, what have I missed now?
Yeah.
Oh, the force field from the TARDIS.
No, Dr. Hugs Rose, and then Jack says, "Don't I get a hug?" And Rose says, "Come here. Jack points to the Doctor and says, "I was talking to him."
Yes. I
like the way the Daleks start shooting at the shield, and then the Doctor says, "I wouldn't try, I can hold back anything." And then Jack says, "Well, almost anything." Yes, but I wasn't going to tell them that.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Thanks for that, for almost getting a skill. Anyway, so they have these... They find out, basically, that a lot of people that have been taken from the games have been... Bits of them have been turned into Daleks, but not the human bits. And there's no human traits left. But they may still have emotions, the Doctor works out, which is why he works out that they might actually be scared. But that might make them more deadly than ever, I think.
And that's which is why they shake when they get angry, too.
That's why they do what to do the when?
Shaking.
they shake when they get angry.
Yeah. That's like my little 5-year-old.
That was some ear shaking.
Doctor. and do you
the
know
the
shakes
this.
Shook
when
it,
they
no.
talk about when they talk about the a bit of human left in them. They had the human factor introduced to those Daleks and the evil of the Daleks as well.
That's true.
So I don't know whether RTD's referencing all of these sorts of things for the fans.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Oh, yeah. Sure he is.
So anyway, they finish their conflab with the Daleks, and they head back to the game station, Satellite 5, Satellite 500, whatever you want to call it. And the Doctor works out the way, because at this point he's really mad. You know, this is not how you don't really ever see the Doctor. He actually gives the monkeys about this. He's annoyed, and they've really wound him up. And the fact is that these Daleks that he's got rid of, that he thought he'd got rid of, that had died in the Time War, and this is the big thing, isn't it, that he thought his people and the Daleks had both died so that the fight was fair. But it turns out that actually it was just his people who had died. All the Time Lords had been killed.
He says, my people were destroyed, but they took the Daleks with them.
Yeah, exactly. So he thought the Daleks were all gone, but clearly, standing in a room full of Daleks, he realised that he was wrong about that.
No, that's because the Emperor's ship was damaged, but he managed to survive. So he was. That's how he built up the army of Daleks, by finding the humans, what would they call them, the dispossessed, all that kind of...
Mm. But to be fair, you know, the Doctor was saying that all of the Time Lords had been destroyed and all the Daleks, but they hadn't, because he survived, and did one Dalek, so it was fair. It's just that the Daleks are a little bit more better at building up new races of their people.
Really. Better at...
Betterer. They are definitely better. Ah. Back to the game station.
And you know, hold on.
Oh, God.
You remember when the Doctor berates the Daleks, he says, if anyone is going to shut up, it's you. And the two Daleks back away.
They do.
So that was good. And when Roach says, so the Daleks are half human. I mean, that line sort of reminds me of the Doctor Who movie.
On their mother's side.
Oh, yeah. You could expect a line like that, couldn't you?
Blaspheme.
Yeah, do not blaspheme.
Yes, that bit made me chuckle as well, actually, about the blaspheming. How can the Daleks blaspheme?
Yes.
And Kirby,
yes.
you should have noted this. You know, when we see the Dalek ships flying through space, we actually hear the sound of them, don't we? And you don't hear sound in space. And we also see the stars when we're in space.
That never bothers me. That doesn't bother me. It's established science fiction trope. So,
I mean, if we're going to wear...
How dare you use the word trope on my podcast?
If we're going to wear something else into that, then obviously when Linda with a Y actually ends up dying, when the Daleks have shot the outside of the space station, the glass is shattered, you hear her scream, and everybody knows in space, no one can hear you scream.
But when the Dalek rises up to the window,
Prometheus coming out.
You can only see its lights on its doodah flashing, saying it's the word
anyway,
terminate.
We've gone back to the game station now. Where the Doctor is attempting to make the Delta Wave generator from all the stuff that he finds in Floor 500. And, of course, we then find out that the Delta Wave will kill all the Daleks, but it will also kill everybody else, every living thing in its path. It can't determine between Dalek and human. And, obviously, then the Emperor Dalek comes on and starts mocking the Doctor, saying, I am the creator of the Daleks. You are the destroyer of all humankind. And then the Doctor obviously has a little bit of a moral dilemma going on.
Yeah, but Captain Jack just says, well, I wouldn't have it any other way, didn't he? Something like that.
Well, exactly, yeah, because the Doctor realises, I think, that, you know, because, as he says, you know, the Daleks are going to go on and destroy the whole universe, try and kill the whole universe if he lets them live. And so they may be, you know, killing the humans or part of the human race, because he says, you know, they've gone out through the galaxies. The human race will survive in one form or another. And so he kind of justifies it to himself like that, which is an interesting way of looking inside the Doctor's head, isn't it, to see what he's actually thinking, that he detests the Daleks that much that he's willing to kill the whole race of people who he spent the last 45 years trying to protect.
Yeah. Yeah. Only because he knows that the Daleks will then kill people.
He knows exactly how, you know, dangerous and evil the Daleks are. And so, it's a risk. It's a population worth
a
killing.
A bit like the Star Trek thing, that the life of the few is not as important as the life of so many of them, something like that, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So as the Doctor's doing the Delta Wave, Jack goes downstairs and tries to speak to the people on the first floor, who, a lot of them, especially, what's his name, black bloke that we talked about earlier.
Patterson Joseph,
He decides that there aren't Daleks, they don't exist, and that a lot of them are going to stay
And he wants his winnings.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
which he says a few times.
I won the game show. This isn't fair.
That's his last words, isn't it?
I'm a greedy son of a something.
The doctor's still trying to make the Delta Wave. I'm talking now. And
hold on, because I want to mention of something.
Go on then. What are you going
to
mention?
Another link to classic Doctor Who. When Jack's talking of guns, he talks about Bastic bullets, and that was something that Eric Saywood came up with in Revelation of the Daleks.
Yes,
there you go.
True. That's Thank very true. Good point. Well pointed out. So the Doctor's still trying to build the Delta Wave. It's not going as fast as he'd like because he needs 3 days to do it, and he's got to do it in about 45 minutes. At that point, he realises after a conversation with Rose that the only way out of this for Rose is to actually send her home in the TARDIS, thus confining himself to certain death, which again is a very interesting way to look inside the Doctor's thinking. He'd rather save Rose because he said he would look after her to her mother, which he proved to be true to his word, sent her home in TARDIS.
But that whole scene, though, Ben, the whole scene where he sort of cons her into getting into the TARDIS was brilliantly done. And the way
Billy Piper did an amazing job this episode.
Yeah, but he runs out back and then he sort of just stops and the expression on his
face.
Kind of
thinks to himself.
Yeah.
Shall I do this?
Not and just, can I watches it go.
Home? Mm. Yeah.
Not just the expression on his face changes, his whole entire body language changes.
Yeah.
And I love the bit as well where Rose is inside the TARDIS just after he's set it into go mode. And she said, do I still have to hold the button down? And she's flying.
And how many times has the Doctor used that little thing, holding the button down?
Yeah, exactly.
So then Rose obviously ends up landing in the same street where her dad died, but just a little bit along. And gets out of the TARDIS and has a little bit of a cry. But Mickey the idiot, hears the engines roaring and he knew it could only be the one.
And he's had a haircut.
He has had a haircut, yeah.
Yes.
Which is allowed because it's science fiction. In science fiction, they do have scissors to cut hair.
Yeah.
So he turns up. She has a bit of a cry on him. And, you know, then they have that brilliant scene where we're all sat in the cafe. I've skipped a little bit, but they're all sat in the cafe.
Have you done the bit with the hologram of the Doctor?
Yes, that was on the TARDIS. Yeah. In the TARDIS. Didn't you call it Emergency Protocol 1, which is basically glossing over that.
And we shouldn't really have skirted over it was a brilliant scene. Especially the end bit.
Because he's just looking straight ahead and she's sort of walking by the side of him.
Yeah, and it turns
and
to face her.
And he looks at him.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, isn't it? Yeah. And because he says, Rose, if you can do one thing for me, have a fantastic life.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then he fades away and she lands. But then she realises that she doesn't want her life on Earth because it's too boring after flying around the stars. Even though she's having chips, she still thinks that isn't good enough.
Hello, Kirby.
Hello. If you go to the street view of where they filmed that, the cafe is right there next to where they parked the TARDIS.
Oh, cool. That's all right then. That's handy for Rose then. The bit I mentioned about where obviously Rose has already gone at this point when Captain Jack, the Emperor Dalek says to the Doctor he's going to kill everyone, including you, and Captain Jack said, I wouldn't have it any other way. That was obviously after that bit.
So then Rose is sitting there having a bit of a cry and kind of works out that the only way to get back... it was a bit with her mother, wasn't it? It was a bit talking about her dad with her mum.
And when she said that I've met him. And that was really quite moving, actually.
Yeah, that was. That was a very, very emotional scene. And she worked out that her dad would have said, nah, go for it. Do whatever you can. And she then remembers that obviously...
blonde girl, that was me. You saw me and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Really,
and,
really
and
good.
Then Rose realises sort of that in Boomtown, what's her name? Slitheen woman.
Mm.
Had opened up, you know, the TARDIS console had opened up. She'd seen inside the TARDIS, and she remembered. Yeah.
But that was after she was in the park and saw Bad Wolf written everywhere, and she's that's a message. That's a message to me.
But she's with Mickey, and they look down and
yeah.
He says it's been following us through time, and that.
Yeah, so that's when she decides
just quickly
to go back
going
to the
back,
TARDIS.
Just going back to the cafe scene. Did you hear the conversation that Mickey and Jackie were having?
No.
Mickey said, "There's a new pizza shop open down the
hall." Yeah, yeah, awkward conversation. Yeah.
that is classic small talk with the mother of your girlfriend. Just talk about Ellen.
And he's got short hair again.
He's had another haircut.
Yeah, we did reference that. Kirby, you wanted to say something.
If you go to Google Street View again and look around, at least with the view that, even though it's only they took that street view only 3 years after the episode was filmed, but you can see on Google Street View the bad wolf on that wall.
Really?
Huh.
Yeah.
Excellent. Actually, if you go to Google Street View with Cows Co-op, you can see my car parked in the co-op car park.
Amazing.
Anyway, so Rose is back home.
I'll send you the link. A link to that. I don't know if it'll work in the UK, but
it will. Oh.
So anyway, Rose decides that he is going to try and fight her way back to the Doctor's side, and realizes that by opening up the TARDIS console, she'll be able to probably control the TARDIS. So she gets Mickey to get his little mini.
I thought that was Mr. Bean's mini until obviously noticed it was the wrong color.
No, it was a lot newer than Mr. Bean's mini, and it was green.
And it wasn't green.
And it wasn't Mr. Bean because that's crap. Anyway,
hey, don't follow Mr. Bean.
Get out.
Mr. Bean is just abysmal. Anyway, so Mickey gets his car and tries to open the TARDIS console, but obviously the chain breaks because the TARDIS is harder than a mini. And she has a little bit of a cry again. But then, as Rose tends this episode. Then Jackie borrows a great big tow truck and turns up. I love that scene where they're standing there and Mickey says to Rose, "Oh, we need something much bigger." And Mickey looks down the street, sees the tow truck coming, and kind of goes, "Yeah, like that." And obviously,
doesn't it say on the tow truck that it's from Cardiff? Why would they drive a tow truck all the way to where this is supposedly
launched? Pedantic moment of the episode.
I can tell you the registration of the truck was T6. Have
you? You haven't heard what Robert's been saying. He's been pedantic.
We found out that Jackie had borrowed this tow truck from somebody because he owed her a favour. Don't ask.
We know that favour may well have been, or is implied to have been.
Back in the future, the Daleks are making their way up from level 494, which Jack was quite adamant they'd be going in at, fighting their way up past all the very few people who volunteered themselves to help. And they made their way up to the level below where the Doctor was building his Delta Wave, and at that point they have the big battle where they're all stuck behind bins and stuff.
Hey, yeah. I like the bit with the android killing three Daleks saying, "You are the weakest link, goodbye."
And then it shoots her, "You are the weakest link," it shoots her, and then her last words with her head rolling around the floor was, "Goodbye."
The thing is that's where you've got to stop all the procrastination and just shoot people instead of doing your characters before you try and kill them. She could have been a great weapon. Yeah. Anyway, she got blown up. And
then Linda with a Y gets done in through the window.
That was a sad bit. Yeah.
And Roderick.
Roderick didn't quite get his prize money. There you go.
You can't do this to me. You don't exist. I won. I'm rich. I'm a winner. You can't do this to
me. I'm a four-year-old.
The Daleks break through the defences. They kill the last couple of people, the two people who were in charge of the controller, or in charge of the controller, but working with the controller. And they're left facing Captain Jack as we see him running down the corridor, firing his last bullet.
When Linda White, when the Daleks are trying to break into that room where Linda White is, the viewing platform. Mm. It's a bit like the old days with the Dalek and his detachable
weapons
appendage. You know, he has the welding attachment and they're burning through the door. That's a bit of a classic Who sort of moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure about your language there, though, because obviously if the Daleks did have interchangeable appendages, I'm sure Captain Jack would be a much better friend.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Then we see Jack being chased down and obviously what we believe to be the final moments.
Hang on. What? Have you just got one of my favourite bits
Hang on,
it wasn't 45 minutes when they manage to get the panel of the TARDIS console open and Rose stares into it and the door shuts.
Back to that bit.
But that bit's before. That's
I don't think we've got there yet either.
Before Captain Jack gets done in.
Yes. No.
Yes.
I've got a plane.
No, I'm sorry. She pulls. They get the recovery thing.
No, that's
they
later,
get the recovery
later.
Thing.
Jack
they pull
gets
the
first.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm
telling you what's happening. I've got the DVD playing now. Please be quiet.
I hate to agree with Adam, but he is actually right.
Please,
let me speak. They've got the recovery van. They're reversing. The panel opens. Rose looks into it. The TARDIS door shuts. The TARDIS dematerializes. They go back to satellite, whatever it is. After Rose sucks in some of the energy from the TARDIS console, obviously. Mickey,
the time vortex.
That's it. And then Captain Jack is running through corridors. He gets cornered. Rose continues to get some of the energy from the TARDIS. And then they exterminate him.
As they exterminate, Jack says...
I kind of figured that.
Yeah.
Well, there's three of them left.
Exterminate. I kind of figured that. Dead.
Yeah, 35 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about that is the fact that when one person gets shot by one Dalek, they just kind of go and get evaporized. That's not even a word.
Vaporized.
It is now.
Vaporized. They get generally killed. But when Captain Jack got shot by three Daleks, he got forced backwards, the Daleks, which I thought was going to be...
Stolen from the Journey's End there to blow up a building.
That is true.
And they only shot half the Doctor as well in that episode.
Yeah.
Captain Jack's dead, we're all very upset, and the Daleks make their way into the room where the Doctor's making the deal, just making the final touches to the Delta Wave. He completes it just in time as the Daleks
Just about to exterminate him. He says,
"What are you, coward or killer?" And he says,
coward
any day.
Every time, yeah.
And so then the TARDIS appears.
He realises that he couldn't kill the human race and all the Daleks. But then, as Adam has just foreseen, incoming TARDIS and the TARDIS.
I just love these scenes.
Oh, you get the most fantastic scene, don't you, where the doors fly open. And then you get the light of inside the TARDIS.
The outer-worldliness of Rose in this thing, with her eyes, and I know it's just superimposed, the expression of her face and the way she wears everything, just so...
But you see her standing at the doors of the TARDIS, and the light from the TARDIS moves into the room, and then the Rose just appears next to the Doctor. Mm. She's travelled, and it's just fantastic. And then, the effects in her eyes, you can see the whole universe in there. And the way the
Doctor's face is lit up by it as well. Brilliant.
Yeah, and the effect on her voice too.
Yeah.
And also, I think if you probably look at it and watch it very carefully, I think they probably made her makeup a little bit more golden.
You've got the Sylvester McCoy title sequence makeup.
It almost did look like that. And so you've got Rose, you've got the scene between the Doctor and Rose where Rose obviously then decides that she can see the whole of time and space, and she takes every single atom of their existence
and
splits them.
Yeah. And then she says, "I bring life," and only brings back to life Captain Jack.
Yeah.
It's selfish there. Yeah, you can hold back Link with a wife.
She did like him.
The whole station.
Because
and all the Daleks.
As soon as Captain Jack had been brought back to life, he just sat there for a while. If he'd have got up and ran straight to the TARDIS, he'd have got taken home.
Yeah, he did dawdle a bit there, didn't he? Yeah, maybe you've seen that there was someone to flirt with.
Hey.
What?
But he'd only been brought back to life.
You're the monkeys.
The monkeys? What's the monkeys got to do with it?
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes.
Anyway,
yeah, so they have a good snog, and then during this snog, all the energy from Rose flows into the Doctor.
Well, he sucks it out of her.
He sucks it out of her with a kiss and a stare, and then she collapses.
And he blows it all back in.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
The console closes, and then you realise...
And he staggers. That's just so beautifully done.
Carries Rose back into the TARDIS. She wakes up.
Anyway, hate to be this way.
We've nearly blimmin' finished!
I don't care. I've got to get on the road.
I don't care. So,
excellent episode. I love this. I wish that we still had the Ninth Doctor because he was great.
Fantastic.
Yes.
next week, you've got me for the full 2 hours. So, assuming that you've got summertime coming.
Yes, we have.
Well, clocks next change Sunday. Next week, do they?
Oh, they do. Last Sunday in March next week.
Glad you know now, Ben.
I get 1 hour less sleep because I'm going to have to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Woo!
Anyway.
Okay.
Bye, Kirby.
Bye, Kirby. Thank you.
Hey, Kirby. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
So then, as we were saying, Rose wakes up in the TARDIS on the floor, finding the Doctor over the console, kind of like looking a little bit uncomfortable. is it turns out that the residual vortex energy is destroying every cell
in his body, which is obviously a little bit like the third Doctor in when he met the Queen.
Yeah. And it's killing him slowly. And he kind of like vaguely skirts around the fact that he's going to regenerate and they're not going to make it to Barcelona to see the dogs with two heads or no heads.
I found all these scenes when I watched the original episode really exciting because you knew it was coming.
Oh, they were.
They just built it up beautifully. It's brilliant.
You know, you knew what was coming and it was just a case of how they were going to get to the ending that everyone knew was coming.
Hey, can I ask something?
No.
When it was originally shown,
yeah.
Did you know when you were watching this episode that you were getting David
Tennant?
Yeah, of course.
Casanova had very successful and they'd already announced David Tennant coming in.
The episodes here were shown a few months or a couple of months after they were shown there. So, I mean, I read about this, I think, before the show even started here, that he was already being replaced by David Tennant.
Yeah,
For me, that's sort of, we haven't even seen it here yet, and they're already telling us we're getting a new Doctor.
Well, so. We kind of got the same almost timeline in the fact that they had the first episode, and then in between the first and second episodes, it was revealed that Eccleston has left and Tennant was taken over. So, before we'd see the second episode of Eccleston, we knew he was leaving.
Yes.
It would be nice if you sort of didn't know. Isn't
it? Of course it would. Yeah, definitely.
Well,
nevertheless,
before,
we did.
It's
still a great moment, though. Yeah.
But still, so
this whole last scene's great. The green lighting on his face and everything. So.
He explains the regeneration process, and then he obviously uses his word fantastic 64 times.
You were fantastic.
I was fantastic. TARDIS was fantastic. I'd like to thank my parents. They were fantastic. K9, he was fantastic in the past. And everyone from Raxacorical Palace was fantastic.
No, that's David Tennant's farewell.
And David Tennant, I'd say he will be fantastic. And, that went on for a while. And then, obviously, he just burst into regeneration.
The funny thing was, we can go back to that in a minute, but when he does sort of regenerate, and he's just very quick, and he suddenly jumps into that position. Whereas with David Tennant, it was like build up, he took a few breaths, and then it was built in that position.
Yeah, I don't remember it being like that the first time I saw it.
Pardon, Reese?
It was a different way of dying. He was poisoned by radiation.
Oh, that was why, was it? Okay.
Killing his body.
Yeah. I still don't remember it being that quick in the first episode, though. The first time I saw it, I don't remember it being that fast.
Yeah, nor did I. But obviously because we've seen a few other regenerations since then, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't know if they've edited it, because obviously some of the ones they put out on DVD, they may have put a slight edit into to fit onto the DVD. Or I don't know. But. Yeah.
And you know what? So was I, and then it suddenly... Yeah, he suddenly jerks into that position, doesn't he?
And the first standing up regeneration as well.
Yeah, first standing up regeneration, yeah.
And then has his regeneration, and then he...
Down come the sideburns, out comes the quiff, and there's David Tennant.
Out comes the what? Oh, quiff.
So where was I? Barcelona. Oh, new teeth.
Barcelona. Now, the thing is, though, we still haven't gone to Barcelona, the planet, have we yet?
Well, no, they have, though.
Have they?
Isn't there something in the... the children in need thing bit, though.
No, he just says, we're going to go to Barcelona, and they end up going to Roses, because the doctor's gone a bit loopy, and we have the Christmas invasion.
I thought they mentioned had actually been to Barcelona.
I thought they did too, but we never get to see it.
No, we'll have to see that in the future, but what we'll say,
before we
summarise this episode, and if you've all got access to it, we must watch that Children Need special before we watch Christmas. As part of the whole thing, so we watch that, and then the Christmas Invasion for next week.
It's on the Series 1 box set, isn't it?
It is in the Series 1 box set. So, all in all, first of all, we can summarise this episode, and I can tell you, without your opinions, it's absolutely superb. This regeneration episode is still probably my favourite of the whole lot. I remember a few weeks ago we were discussing what series we thought was the best of the new series, and I did actually say Series 1, and so far... Obviously, we haven't watched the rest, but so far, I'm thinking that this is still the best of the new era.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Very,
I agree. Out of the series we've watched so far, Series 1 is definitely the best.
Thank you, Ben.
The power of the dark side.
Reese,
that's Robert. I'll tell you what, we're going to have to introduce some serious disciplinary measures because magic's a sweep.
We need to point out on this one, and this made me think, ooh, when I was, as soon as the episode had finished, it went into the titles.
Yes.
Obviously, it says, the Doctor, Christopher Eccleston, Billy Piper,
Rose, introducing blah, blah, blah. Doctor Who.
Then instead it says introducing right. David Tennant as Doctor Who.
And that's the last time that the Doctor is called Doctor Who.
I have to say, when I first watched that scene, I was very excited because we got a new Doctor, but this time around I'm pretty upset because we have to say goodbye to Eccleston.
Yeah, indeed, absolutely.
He did such an amazing job.
I think people forget how good he was.
I do feel a little bit stitched that we only got one series of Eccleston. I mean, I love Tennant. He's probably my favourite Doctor of all there. But still, the fact that, you know, you just feel a little bit short-changed.
Yes, absolutely.
You'd have loved
I feel even
have
more
a...
so after rewatching, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know he gets a lot of stick for only doing the one series and for having no further part in Doctor Who, but it's down to this performance as why we've got Doctor Who now. A mix of all these brilliant stories, the way they set the new Doctor Who up with the performances of all the actors, and mainly Christopher Eccleston, because that was the most important part in the whole show. You know, they had to get that right, and my God, did they get it right with him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they could have got someone better to relaunch the series. But I think it's also a case, as great as Eccleston was, he could only act the scripts that had been written brilliantly and edited and all sorted out by RTD and Julie Gardner had made sure that, you know, the series looked, sounded and was written just fantastically. And, you know, without the scripts being written like they were, including the ones by Stephen Moffat, and... because to be fair, the ones he wrote in series one, they were Stephen Muppets.
Stop interrupting, Ben. That's very naughty.
He just said something there because he said, including the scripts of Moffat. I want you just make sure you put that on a loop anytime that Ben.
No. Look, I have always said I never had a problem with Stephen Moffat when he was a writer of Doctor Who. It's just since he's taken over that I've got an issue with him. Before he took over, before he got Delusions of Grandeur and Delusions of Sherlock Holmes and however many other things he wants to try and write at the same time, you know, that's the issue I've got with him, the fact that he's ruined it since he took over. When he was writing individual episodes or parts of episodes, they were brilliant episodes. No one can deny that.
Find quite exciting about the forthcoming series because they keep on saying they're individual episodes. And I think if it's true, because you can never believe anything Moffat says, to a certain degree, that they are individual episodes and there's no major story arc, then we're going to be in for a proper treat because I know Moffat's particularly good at writing individual
I don't quite understand, excuse me, how they're going to achieve that. Yeah, that was a bit of one of them, actually. I don't understand how they're going to achieve that when, obviously, we know that Amy and Rory are going to be leaving at some point midway through the series. So there's got to be some sort of story linking everything together that's happened and to them and then on from that. Otherwise,
maybe, but you've got to bear in mind that, you know, if you go back to the past when characters have left, they haven't been story arcs necessarily when those characters have left. They've just been in a situation in that story that's required
them. That's very true. Maybe we've been just used to having the story arc for the last six series, which have...
Seasons.
We've only got four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter.
No.
Much with the specials, though, was there? I mean, besides, you know, we know that something's going to happen to Tennant.
It was the
story
Doctor, not Tennant.
okay, Reese,
Mr. Taking Over Pinnickety Man. But yeah, so... I think after we've done Series 1, well, Series 1 we haven't quite finished reviewing yet because we still have got the Christmas Invasion next week to watch.
That's right.
Which is technically part of
Series 1,
filmed as part of Series 2.
Yeah.
So, but that was the only one that was done like that, because obviously they're always filming the Christmas special at the end of the run of the series they're filming now.
Yes, they do.
But for that one, they had to film it out of sequence because...
Interesting fact for Marigold lovers, that's where he actually got his orchestra for the first time.
Yeah.
And you can really tell.
Oh, wait, the Christmas Invasion?
Yeah.
Okay. That's well interesting.
I thought his music for the last couple of episodes was great, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very fitted. I love that sort of the music he used for the Daleks.
I think definitely the music, the incidental music that has been used was definitely better in the first four series than it was in the last two.
I disagree. I like it all.
Oh, well, yeah.
I would.
That's just
I do.
But no, I think it's definitely, I don't know, maybe he's getting bored with doing it again. I don't know. But I know, I definitely, I mean, because I think the one of the best bits of music that they've done is, it was Rose's theme. And yeah. Especially
that's his favourite too.
Sorry?
Yeah.
That's his favourite too.
I mean, definitely the actual scene where Rose is searching for the Doctor at the end of series two, where she leaves in Bad Wolf Bay that isn't called Bad Wolf Bay.
Don't worry, Ben.
That the bit of music used there is so powerfully emotional.
Doomsday,
and just fits the images so perfectly. That's easily my favorite piece of music that has been used in New Who.
Another podcaster I know, they say Murray Gold and Russell T Davies broke the nation then.
Wow.
By killing off, getting rid of Rose and Murray making that amazing music.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get onto that in 13 weeks' time. Oh, yeah. Whether I'll still be here or not, that is a completely different matter.
Did we have some success with our job interviews, did we?
May have done.
I had some success with my job interview.
Did you get the post of Chief Self Stacker?
No, I got promoted to team leader, which is sort of cheap.
You got promoted to team leader, so now you're in charge of what? The soup and the cereal?
No. I'm sort of in charge of team.
No, stop putting the Frosties on that shelf. They need to go one shelf below.
Right then, so on the whole, brilliant episode. Now, I think we better move on because I'm quite looking forward now to the Tennant
era. Can I just make another mention?
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, they also had another link with the old Doctor Who and Dalek episodes with shooting the Eye Stalk as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did that in Dalek.
I cannot see.
They did that in Dalek, didn't they?
That's one thing that seriously annoys me with these episodes. Jack says twice to shoot at their Eye Stalks, and nobody bothers. They're just waving their guns around in every direction. You could have survived if you shot their eye.
Concentrate your fire. Yeah, but there were millions of them, though, so they didn't really have much chance.
But if you shot the one in front and they were going up the corridor, they just bump into the one in front.
I thought it was good how they made it seem like there were thousands of Daleks invading as well. Yeah?
Yes.
I thought it was great.
I don't give a toss about your stupid bloody podcast.
We have some audio feedback.
Ooh. Yay!
Oh, and I've pressed the wrong button. From some chap.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Hello!
I like the Jim the Fish audio feedback as a Cyberman. It was satire and steel. By War and the Parting of the Ways by Russell T Davies. They should not process the voices of Anne Robinson, etc. They might as well have got an impersonator, as the distortion would mean no one would know the difference.
No.
The games on Station 5 seem like a lot of trouble to go to cover up the disappearance of people. Mickey is driving another Mini, which is plausible.
Mickey and Minnie.
Rory had two of these as well. When Rose is in the cafe with her mother, she expounds the idea of episode time. We cut between the Doctor in the far future and Rose in 2005. To create dramatic tension, it seems because the Doctor is in a hurry, Rose must hurry also.
Yeah, yes.
I think she could take years to open the TARDIS console and still arrive in time to defeat the Daleks.
Yeah, yep. There is that aspect.
It's a time machine.
For magic, if you could hold your gas output until you want to jump onto the couch, you could be jet-propelled.
Magic. Thank you, Ian. Magic's ears have gone back. He looks really sad now.
Oh. Yeah, he kind of ruined that episode for me by just pointing out that Rose could have taken as long as she wanted.
It's true.
Yeah,
she
said
exactly the same thing, though, because she's in the past. She's got a bloody time machine.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously for dramatic sake, yeah.
Also, you'd have to wait a couple of years for Billy Piper to get older, and then they'd have to finish filming that. So that would hold out the production a bit.
Yeah, I suppose. They probably explain it by a time running parallel or something like that. I've got some more. Who's making a racket?
Me. I'm trying to sort out my laptop fan thing, which is... some reason started making awful noises whenever I plug in, so I have to whack it a couple of times.
Oh, okay. So when I used to work at PM Color, they used to fix their Macs by dropping them about 3 inches off the desk to make them work properly. You deny what? I know what's funny. Oh, yeah, Ben. There you go. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I am funny.
You know how when somebody speaks their box flashes on Skype?
Yeah.
Reese's, when Ben speaks, Reese's is going off.
No, that's because Ben.
My name is Reese.
That's because Reese is talking over Ben.
Yeah, so it's a bit weird.
Well, if Reese learned not to talk over me, his box wouldn't flash.
When I'm speaking, Ben's
for me, then I'd be able to actually get some points in.
Yes, it would get some points in. And then there, there's pause. There was for Reese to get some points in, but nothing seemed to occur.
Ooh.
Anyway, carry on.
I thought you wanted to get some points in.
I want to get
some
points
in. It's just that I'm always interrupted when we're doing a review.
Are you?
I want to get some points in. Everybody quiet.
Reese is going to say something.
No, nothing interesting.
I was just pointing out that I always get interrupted. Carry on.
Is that what it was? Oh, for God's sake. Right, I've got some audio feedback here from Jim the Fish.
Oh. I'm blubbering.
Calling that 20 megabyte podcast. You have a message. Establishing a connection now.
Greetings. Ow. This is the Cyber Horde of the Ninth Cyber Legion speaking. After monitoring last week's show, I have been computing how many enemies from classic Doctor Who have been brought back so far, as well as the recurring Daleks, with their leader Davros, and the Cybermen, of course. There has also been the Silurians, mentioned by Reese, and the Macra, who Adam recalled. Also, the Ortons, the Nastian Consciousness, Santarans, and the Master. None of them have been inferior and needed to be deleted, except the Cybus Industries Cybermen, who were highly inferior. But maybe it is time for the next series to concentrate on new enemies. Not again. This confounded chronological counting machine of the Cyber Empress is annoying, but I will try to keep talking. Darn it. Now it has started the Cyber Shade Party. Shut up, Moffat. Moffat.
Go and get him, Magic. Quiet. Go on.
Well, go on, Magic. Cyber Shade needs its first remain. So before I send off for the pampered pet parlor on Sirius B, I have just time to ask, what monsters from Doctor Who would you 20 megabiters like as a pet if there were no drawbacks? Would any of you go for a Dalek or a Cybermat? My choice would be an Agador from Curse of Peladon. Even though the Sirius B pampered pet parlor would not be keen to take care of those claws and tusks. No, I really have to go. Until the next time. This is the Cyber Lord of the Ninth Cyber Legion signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Yes, thank you, Jim the Fish, for upsetting my dog. Magic, come here. Magic, come
Magic
on.
Just sounded huge.
Come on, mate. Come on.
Growing just a little bit.
He's gone out the back door to look for the dog. Oh, my old friend. Anyway, right, as far as pets from Doctor Who Monsters. I already have several Daleks, so that probably doesn't count, does it? I'd probably go for one of the aliens that actually looked like a woman that was really quite nice looking. The only one that springs to mind is Romana 1, who was an alien. I don't know if she counts as a monster, but she was particularly nice looking. So I'm going to go for Romana 1.
Not Romana 2.
No, I prefer Romana 1 myself.
She's not a monster, is she?
Well, she's not human, is she? So I'm counting her as a...
She's not a monster in the goody baddie scheme of things. You can't have a goodie as a monster.
Okay, well, I'll come back to that one in a minute.
Well, in that case, I'll go for K9, because it'll be good at opening the
All right, it's all right. You carry on, I'll think.
What?
Well, in that case, I was going to say the adipose, but...
Adipose. That's a good one. Reese!
Adam!
Yeah, sorry. That was a good one. I'm impressed with that.
Hold on, but the adipose... Hold on. Sorry to be Kirby and everything, but the adipose weren't a baddie.
No, I was going to say them, but as soon as there was that thing thrown in there that we can't have good guys, I'd have to change my mind.
Well, as pets, I don't know if I'd like to have a... I mean, a Jadoom are all right, but I don't think I could cope with them stomping around the house going...
No.
Go, cup of tea.
God, just imagine them at tea time, eh?
Yeah.
Language or assimilated.
I want pizza. I want pizza.
Oh, I know. I know.
Go on. I've got a brilliant one, though.
Go on, then.
Ooh.
What about Monster?
What about in the Appiness Patrol?
Yes.
With the
Fifi.
You know,
Fifi.
Yeah, that dog. Yeah.
You'd like there to have that go. As a pet, would you? A pet, would you? So you're not too keen on retaining your arms and legs.
Well, obviously, if it's your pet, it's going to bite off other people's arms and legs, isn't it?
Okay. Not a bad one. That's a pretty good choice. Right. Oh, pardon. I know them. How about the in Delta and the Bannermen?
That baby.
The mother of the baby, actually, I was thinking.
Oh, yes.
Not a baddie, I know, but still. One that was supposed to be monster was that Androgum in The Two Doctors, who was also a character. Jacqueline Pierce, who played a character in Blake 7. She was quite... She was bearable-looking while she wasn't looking like an Androgum.
I think I would have to go for... that little pig that ran down the corridor.
Yeah, I agree.
For no other reason that I like bacon, and I'd be interested to find out what space bacon tasted like.
Did you like
how about
like
that one, the little chap in The Voyage of the Damned, Taramasalata, or whatever his name was?
Banakapalata.
That's nearly what I said.
He didn't have enough cream on for my liking.
It wasn't a baddie, though, was he, again? This is really awkward trying to find...
I know
what I'd like to have. I'd like to have one of those Vok robots in Robots of Death, but turned back into a good Vok robot, you know, the uncontaminated version.
Oh, I tell you what, I think I might go for... I might go for John Sims' incarnation of the Master, because he seemed like a bit of fun, didn't he?
Yeah. The Vok robots are great, you could just get them to do everything.
He'd eat you out of house and home, Ben.
As long as you didn't touch my Frosties.
And your wife and your kids.
I'm not so partial to her.
You're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm not.
He can have anyone he wants. Oh, I meant
So we also have a thing called the top 30 Doctor Who podcast charts as having been forwarded to Ben.
Yes.
Not so long ago.
Well, yesterday, actually. Yesterday evening at, what time was that? About 10 o'clock-ish, I think. Yep. Oh, there's a rude word in this
I know,
week.
But unfortunately, it's a rude word we have to keep in because that's actually in the title of the podcast.
Well, is I don't know. Name that that podcast.
Pardon?
I don't think we should name that podcast.
No, that can be named and...
James. Just because what's his name? Director bloke.
Director.
You know, the big film director.
Scorsese?
No.
Spielberg.
Quentin Tarantino?
Yes, Quentin Tarantino. Just because he used it in one of his films, now people are thinking they've got to use it in their title of podcast. Bastards. Anyway.
Go on, then.
At number 30, a re-entry for the voice of Gallifrey from Gallifrey.
Gallifrey?
Good start.
It's the third planet
down. I thought your mouth would have been run in by now.
We'll start again. At 30, the voice of Gallifrey from Russia. Oh, there's a chance for an accent there.
Russia.
The voice of Gallifrey from Russia.
It's Russian, not Welsh.
Would you like some vodka?
It was Welsh-Russian. And yes, I would. Thank you very much. At number 29, a new entry for Carnival of Bar Stewards.
Bar Stewards.
Because I'm not saying the word bastards. Yeah, exactly. Bastards is a horrible word, and we shouldn't use bastards.
You could call them bastards.
Bastards. Oh, I should have used bastards. Yeah.
Good one. Good one, yeah.
At 29, a new entry for the Carnival of Bastards. At 20, starring Rick Mayall. At 28, a re-entry for the oncoming storm. That's what she said. At 27,
talking about that in the episode.
27's up 3 for Tim's take on, and at 26, up 2 for the future Time Lord. 25, it's up 2. Oh, another rude word. Oh no, this says cultdom. Sorry, I slightly misread that. The Cultdom Collective.
and at 24, a non-mover for Earth Station 1. 23 is a re-entry for the Sonic Toolbox, and at 22, it's down to from the Gallicus from France. 21 is up one for Travelling the Vortex. At number 20, a new entry for Crossover Adventure Productions. That's a snappy title, isn't it?
Yeah, they're like a drama.
Say that really
they
fast.
They make their own drama.
Crossover
drama.
Adventure Productions, Crossover Adventure Productions, Crossover Adventure Productions, Crossover Adventure Productions.
All right, that'll do. Thank you.
That's what the challenge was there. 19, down to but bigger on
that
the
cult of collective. Can you
that's
that
very hard? Naughty, Robert. Right. Magic! Oh. Magic, attack!
No, no.
Adam, you do realise that by saying attack, all he's going to do is do what your wife did to your laptop, and that's Wait, never a good idea.
He went for that dog just a minute ago. Right, go back to number 19 after Robert's incredible naughtiness.
At number 19, it's down two for bigger on the inside. That's what he said. And at number 18, down four for a madman with a box. 17's a re-entry for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. And at 16, up two, it's Talking Who. Number 15, down six for Doctor Who, Who's He? And at 14, down four, the Pharos Project. 13's a re-entry for Staggering Stories. 12's a re-entry for Most Behind This Cutaway. And at 11, down three, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Number 11.
No,
do you know what? I'm not being funny, Pod Grammars.
But you normally are.
Well, yes, I am indeed. But there aren't 10 podcasts that are better than this one to do with Doctor Who.
Apparently. Well, no, there aren't. No, that's maybe true, maybe true. But there are 10 that have more listeners on this occasion because there's loads of podcasts. Loads of the more popular ones have got released this week.
Yeah, but still, that doesn't
in fact,
make...
Radio Free Scaro just got in 1 minute into the... if they'd released their podcast a minute later, they wouldn't have been there. We were number 10.
Well, out of
the way it goes.
Number 10 is the Kyrenoid podcast.
Kyrenoid!
Every week, wait for him to correct me on that one. At 19 is a re-entry for the Naked Scar. At 8... Did I say 19?
Nine.
A re-entry for the Naked Scar. At number 8, down 4 for Impossible Podcasts. And at number 7, a re-entry for the Oodcast. Full of songs. Number 6, a re-entry for the Flashing Blade. At number 5, down 2 for the DWO Whocast. At number 4, down 3, last week's number 1 pop pickers for Radio Free Scaro. And at number 3, it's a re-entry. How can it be a re-entry? It's a new podcast.
It's not.
I don't get this.
They didn't have a show out last week, so they've re-entered.
No, but surely re-entry denotes that this podcast has been in the chart before and then re-enters it.
Yes, it has, because last week it wasn't in it because they didn't have a show out. This
but it's
week...
not a re-entry then, it's a new entry. Because it's a different
re-entry.
Episode.
It's re-entry, it's been mentioned in the charts before, so it's re-entry.
No,
but it's a different version, it's a different episode of the podcast, so therefore it's a new
RSS. This is all down to RSS feeds. This is all down to...
Where's Kirby when you need him?
This is all down... Let me explain. It's all down to the RSS feeds.
Hey,
these podcasts are attached to RSS feeds. It's the feed which is a continuation of the podcast. And every time a podcast is released, it then feeds that new episode into the world of podcasting.
Yeah,
so this chart is the RSS feed chart. So basically, if a podcast was not released, then the feed was inactive that week. So if it comes back again the next week, then it's a re-entry. It's re-entered the chart.
But the way that you've explained that to me comes across like, we'll take a TV programme like EastEnders, for example, which is quite often up the top of the ratings chart here in the UK. It's a different episode every week, but it's not a re-entry.
But the series is... So basically, say they didn't have an episode of EastEnders 1 week, that would not appear in the TV ratings, would it? But then the following week, they had an episode,
would
then re-enter.
It would be a new entry.
Because it's the same series, but with a new episode. It's a re-entry.
It's a new entry.
No.
Same with Doctor Who when it comes back this year. It would re-enter
what,
the chart.
Series?
Well, look at the thing. Let me give an example. When John Lennon died, Imagine went back into the charts. It re-entered the charts. It wasn't a new entry.
That's because it was
a re-entry.
Same version of the song that previously...
Oh, I can understand sort of what
Kirby,
Ben's
have
saying.
You been contaminating Ben? Or he's gone, hasn't he?
So
right
then. if our episode, if Doctor Who Megabyte 20 Megabyte Megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 96 re-entered, which we did 8 weeks ago, that would be a re-entry. Episode 104, and it's never been in the chart before, is a new entry.
All right, then. So, you're saying every time a cult podcast comes back, instead of re-entering the charts, it's got to be a new entry, but it won't make sense. Because then you wouldn't be able to identify the new podcast, such as Crossover Adventure Productions, which isn't a new podcast, it's just newly added to the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, and The Carnival of Bastards, which is a new podcast. What would we call those actual new podcasts, which are brand new and not been in the charts before?
And number three, it's re-entry, apparently. The Tin Dog Podcast. At number two, it's a non-mover. God knows what that means for the Doctor Who Podcast. And at number one, apparently it's been at number one before this episode of the Doctor Who Podshock Podcast, but it's the Doctor Who Podshock Podcast.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
But interesting to note,
I'm upset.
Right?
I'm upset, though.
Oh, God.
I'm upset as well.
My favourite podcast wasn't on there. I mean, one of my favourites.
Ah, the truth's coming out now.
I'm happy Secondary Stories is on there.
I can't remember if I've complained about this before, but I'm about to anyway. Mm. You know, about 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or some weeks ago, we got a list of those podcast awards that were being done by someone.
Those come, I think that's the end of March that Mr. M said that.
And you know, this one had been nominated for it, as had some lesser podcasts somehow.
Yes.
Got through the nomination process. Obviously, no one had listened to them to find out the quality of them before they got nominated. But anyway, I got nominated for Best Person in the Galaxy or
that's right.
Some awards similar to that. And I noticed on Facebook a week or so ago that Reese Parton decided to vote for somebody else instead of
him. Yeah, because I think she did a good job.
Who, Alicia?
Bollocks.
Do you too?
Thanks for the support. You know, in football terms, if Ryan Giggs had voted for Luis Suarez of Liverpool to be player
honestly,
of the year,
that analogy will go right over Reese's head,
Wayne
Ben.
Rooney.
Don't even go there.
I know the jokes that Staggering Stories made up about him, but that's about all.
About who? Wayne Rooney?
No. What was it?
Ryan Giggs.
Yeah.
Well, whatever the situation, Reese, that is quite frankly unforgivable.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
because
no,
I think
it is.
Better job than
no. No, it doesn't matter what
God
you think.
Sake.
What you think in this case is irrelevant, mate. You should have voted for me.
No, you should have voted for me. You voted for yourself. So.
Well, I have to vote for myself because I don't want a bloody bias.
Hey, I voted for you, Ben. Thank
Hang
you.
On a sec. This is, we've rather glossed over this comment that Robert said about that he's really upset that his favourite podcast is not on there.
No. One of...
No, you correct yourself, because your first thing you said was, my favourite podcast. I mean, then you said, one of my...
Name.
So what was this podcast that isn't on there that's your favourite podcast, then?
Who's the man?
That's one of them, okay.
That's not the one you were thinking of, though, was it?
The 20 megabyte.
No, I just like the
Doctor Who podcast.
That's all.
Which one?
I don't know. Which one is it, Ben?
Ha! Oh, that one.
John Pertwee. Ha!
Yeah. Oh, dear. yes, I suppose...
Venus Patrol.
I was going to say something wrong there, but that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not a lot of feedback this week.
Oh.
It's a bit of a shame, isn't it? So it rather leads me on to the possibility of looking for some news. I'm just checking the other email address that we use from time to time that people occasionally send stuff to before I commit myself to looking at the news. I'm off work this week. I've got a week off work.
Oh, lucky. Yes. I've got a week off every week.
I'm quite. But with my new... with my promotion to team leader, which I have to say I'm very proud of because it's the first time I've ever been promoted in my life.
Is that why they gave you a week off?
No, I had this week off anyway. It just means they've changed all my hours. And I thought, they're going to change all my hours. That means Monday's out. But I managed to renegotiate continuing to have Mondays off, which is quite good. And I...
got Saturdays
off. It means I get Saturdays off!
I can't believe it's not butter next to butter. It is actually butter and not I can't believe it's not butter.
No, well, being a team leader, you can then, of course, direct CSAs to put the stock out.
Oh, I get it. So you now are in charge of telling people not to put the I can't believe it's not butter next to the butter.
More or less,
it actually is butter and not I can't believe it's not butter, which you taste and believe it is butter, but really isn't
well,
I can't believe
the thing
it's not
is,
butter. It really is butter.
We do actually have these things called customers that you have to look after as well as putting stuff on shelves.
Customers?
So we've got a customer service
listeners
to attend to. And one of my jobs is to make sure that the staff are providing our customers with the customer service that we expect them to have and they would expect to have. So things like that.
Good morning, sir. How can I help
absolutely.
You?
Good morning, sir. And hello and have a chat with them and make them feel like they're in a shop that they want, they're welcome to be in and not have self-service tills everywhere. Actually have people serving people.
Absolutely not.
What do you mean
self-service
absolutely
self-service tills are much better than tills with spuds behind them. We don't know what they've been doing.
You can't go up to self-service tool. So I'm sorry, I couldn't find where the mango chutney was, Mr. Self-service tool. Could you tell me?
Yeah.
Or
that's what you
have you got a bigger size of this particular thing? Or when are you getting this in stock?
Ooh,
it won't tell
see
you.
See the size of it.
Hey, thank you.
I'm sorry. I do use self-service tools, but I'm glad we don't have them in our shop. We refuse to have them. In fact, the Southern Cooperative, as a society, doesn't have self-service tills. We're interested in. We're interested in. Oh no, our place is going up. We're doing much better than all the other.
Is it
financially? And I think it's part and parcel of that is the fact that we like to talk to our customers and like. Anyway, this is not an advert for the Southern Cooperative, which is a fine establishment.
Listening to the podcast last week, I like your amalgamation of calling the team of Dr. and Rose Doze. I think that's...
Thank you.
I like that.
And talking about the show last week, at the end of the episode, we talked about the rumour about the possible return of Doctor Who episodes to the archive.
Oh, I'd love
and
that.
Because I haven't heard anything since then, I'm to presume it's another glowing rumour, which turns out, as they always tend to be, apart from the one we previously had, not true. Well, I can't say it's not true yet, but they haven't. You normally, by now, they've made some sort of announcement, and they haven't. So it makes me think that it's probably not going to happen, which is a real shame.
What's that? Aww. What are you talking about, eh?
Well, last week, at the end of the episode, because it came in after we recorded, the news came in, I got a text from Alistair Pearson saying, and normally he's quite a reliable source, but saying that there's a strong rumour that a TV company abroad was going to return a great big clump of episodes to the archive, and they were from The Smugglers onwards, apart from the Dalek episodes. So it's just so I thought it must be true, the fact that they've picked out which episodes there were and which episodes there weren't, when they said they were not the Dalek ones. So the hope was we were going to have Smugglers, 10th Planet, all those Troughton stories, which we've never seen, including Highlanders, back. But so far, no news has surfaced since that rumour was created.
Yes, that would be a handy still thing to have back true. The episode.
Yeah, I hope. It's still a chance, but the chances, I think, are sort of starting
I wouldn't
to fade.
Say that at all. I'd say these things take time. Mm. From the moment that the story comes out, they're going to do it. They'll have to, work out how they're going to get them back, and which ones. They've got to check the fact that they're all...
wrangling.
They've got to make sure that they're all legitimate. They've got to make sure they're good enough quality to say that we've got them back. So it's not going to be anything that they'll do in 3.5 minutes and say, we've got them again. It will take them a while. It will take them a good couple
especially
of weeks.
Especially with so many, if it's
yeah,
so many.
Exactly.
Well,
They'll all have to be checked. They'll all have to be
cleaned
up.
Oh, that's true. I agree. I mean,
that's the thing. That's the thing. They will have to clean them up. They won't put them out in the state.
Oh, no, but they haven't put out those two episodes that have been returned last month.
Yeah, but they still need to work on them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
they
announced
they only put out clips.
Out loud. But they announced that they got them. Ooh,
but
nice
also
silence.
Remembering some film tins cans, they also say a different title than what's on inside as well sometimes.
What, you mean like if you put a DVD back in the wrong box?
Well, no, I think this is the rumour was that somebody said, when I mentioned it, they said, I reckon that's probably from Singapore. But it'll be something like that, somewhere that they haven't had particular contact with for quite a long time, a TV company from abroad, and of course if they're returning the film with foreign language dubbed over, we do have the audio that we can dub back over. So that's another thing to look at the possibility of, and what a dream come true it would be if that were the case. Obviously, still a lot of things missing, but Patch Troughton's era has been completely devastated
by
this.
His was the worst dealt with, wasn't it?
So, and most of it would be returned, barring two stories. So that would be really good. Apparently, Russell T. Davies is going to be a co-judge on the new Drama Awards, so the Wales Drama Awards. Don't think that's really going to affect anybody other than people living in Wales.
His boyfriend or something.
Yeah, but he's doing that while helping his boyfriend and creating that new children's BBC programme series to replace his Sarah Jane Adventures. Doctor Who experienced 5 years at Cardiff Bay. The BBC have confirmed previous indications that the Doctor Who Experience, which closed last month in London, will be based in its new Cardiff Bay home for at least 5 years. So
wow,
that's quite good, really, isn't it?
I'm going to tell you, Doctor Who's going to carry on for a while, then.
Yeah, hope so.
Well, it'd be embarrassing if it didn't, really.
Audiobooks of Paradise Towers and a Torchwood Fallout have been coming out in April.
It's read by Tom Price as well.
Yes.
That's why he's on the front cover.
Yes, yeah. That would be why. Also, I think it's set after Miracle Day, apparently, somebody said.
Not bothered.
Sponsorship for the Doctor Who Experience is being sought, so apparently if you want to apply to be sponsors of the Doctor Who Experience, then there's some...
I'll sponsor them for $1.
Don't think that's quite what they're looking at, to be honest with you. Rumour Zone, it says...
$200,000 plus VAT per year.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
The Rumour Zone says that back in January, Stephen Moffat had made an enigmatic comment about following Sophia Miles on Twitter, saying, I'll explain later or not. That statement led to widespread speculation as to whether the actress would be returning to Doctor Who. And whilst the lead writer has yet to say anything else to confirm or deny this, the actress herself being mentioned in Spain on Monday at the same time as production was taking place in Almeria. My bag has just been located at Malaga Airport. Hope it gets to me tomorrow. That's what she tweeted.
Malaga Airport's good. I like Malaga Airport.
Well, how do you spell pronounce it then?
It is Malaga, as you said. You started Malaga. Off by saying Malaga.
Thank you. further fuel for the fire appeared on Friday with Arthur Darvill saying to her, "Great to meet you. I think
good
I ran
to meet
off.
You.
Won't you get
think I ran off at the end. Good times.
Shut up. Anyway, so." Yeah, so it looks as if she could well be appearing in the new series. There are some a screenshot of Karen Gillan on set in Spain. It just looks like a cowboy's, a cowboy's street.
To carry on, I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay. Tom Baker's novel, The Boy Who Kicked Pigs, has been updated for the stage. Didn't know he'd written a novel.
Didn't you know that?
Well, I do now.
I thought you said biography for a second then.
And the TARDIS materialises at the Senedd. The TARDIS has once again been spotted out and about, this time materialising at the Welsh National Assembly. The police box prop has been in residence in the Senedd, or Senedd, I suppose it would be for Welsh, building in Cardiff Bay over the last week. That's not particularly interesting.
Isn't that
so really,
in
that... Sorry,
doesn't
just
that
saying,
picture in the middle look like the TARDIS is just materialising?
It does, actually. Yeah. but obviously, with all that in mind, it clearly indicates there's not been a great deal of Doctor Who news this week, I'm afraid. So,
indeed. Give it time.
Now I'm going to do something that I usually only do with Alicia, and that's argue. Ooh,
Thought you were going to say with your wife for a second.
No, I said argue.
Yeah, with your wife.
Me.
What?
Yeah.
Argue. What, with your wife. I don't argue with my wife. I don't know what you're trying to imply.
You argue with Alicia.
No, she argues with me. It's a complete different thing.
You argue back.
No, I do not.
Yes,
I sit,
you do.
I do not. I do with you, but not, I don't with her. I just sit and take it. Because I know that I'm right, and whatever I say... she will think that she's right when she's not. So there's no cause for argument. She obviously just wants to get a few things off her chest, and I just allow her to do that, and then duck a few times and make sure I've got a few pillows at hand
and a workable laptop.
Yeah,
well, I've got three workable laptops on me today. I've got Alicia's one with the mains wire wedged in with a little fridge magnet teddy bear. I've got my one that that Deb broke, which is currently fueling my viewing of the internet and playing back audio feedback. And I have my one that Deb replaced the broken one with, which I'm currently recording the show with, which I, of course, will be editing the show with later on. Sorry, what did you say?
Don't make me destroy you.
Oh, for God's sake. Right, eBay. The top listed item this week on eBay with no bids against it, surprise, surprise, is something called Original 1966 Dalek Art for TV Century 21 Comic. Now, we did actually gloss over this last week on the show. It's listed at £3,850, buy now or best offer.
I think I've seen the picture of that too. Mm. It's just a picture of the Dalek, isn't it?
You'd have to be somebody particularly keen to buy something like that on eBay. I think it's something that if he really wants to sell it on auction, he needs to take it to a specialist auction rather than trying to flog it on eBay. So,
have you still got Bargain Hunt on there?
Yeah, we get Bargain Hunt. Not really anything to do with Doctor Who, but yes, we do get it.
I like watching it. Well, I'm just thinking because they do auctions on there, something like that maybe, huh?
Something like that, yes, indeed. But the item that's number one as far as on eBay and being the most expensive item with bids against it, 20 bids, in fact, with only 22 hours and 20 minutes left to bid against it as I speak. So most people who listen to this show, it'll already be gone. Character building Doctor Who Series 1 Special Edition. I think this is all the really rare figures in a box. £310. So you've got the Doctor in his football kit. You've got the half... the angel that's not quite, what they call it, materialised.
Let's just say series or season one.
Series one special edition.
There's
two series. Yeah, when they're talking about series on there, they're talking about a series of released figures and not series as in series. So this
and
is
they've
like
got the naked Amy Pond there as well.
The what?
Ooh.
The naked one,
ooh.
They say.
Ooh.
Did you say the naked one? Hang on, I've got to have a look at it now. If you said it's the naked Amy Pond. As I say, that Isabella has found a way of taking their hair off by biting their hair off. I don't think the hair is actually supposed to come off. Anyway. And there's a Silurian figure, which... and the Doctor and Raggedy Doctor. That was the other figure, which is really, really
that
rare
in that
set. Reminds
me of the latest Staggering Stories podcast. One of them is very much against spoilers. Adam J. Purcell, he doesn't like spoilers, so he doesn't look at pictures and things. But those who had said, oh, doesn't Karen Gillan look good naked?
That's cost me £300-odd, but I've just bid for a naked Karen Gillan.
Now, this is starting to annoy me now. Somebody posted on this is right, and it really does annoy me. Because this happens so often with people trying to sell stuff on eBay. They don't know anything about Doctor Who, so they flog something and they put canine robot prop. This has got 12 bids against it. And the canine is spelt K-A-Y-N-I-N-E.
Yeah, but the thing is, you should never use eBay for anything because they're a bunch of crooked, money-stealing bastards.
This is an idiot, isn't it, basically? Let's list it. Not
that person. Actual eBay itself.
Okay, but they're listed, basically there's £260 plus £25 postage.
Don't bid on eBay. Don't use eBay ever.
I always use eBay, but I generally buy stuff with it rather than sell.
No, don't use eBay. They are a bunch of crooked bastards.
Because I haven't got anything left to sell. So I have.
I sold something on Thursday. Friday. The money got transferred into my PayPal account. I then transferred electronically the goods to somebody. Then 6 hours later, I got an email saying that they'd reversed the payment. So they've got the money and my goods, and I can't do anything about it because eBay are bastards, quite frankly. And they've got
I've never had that
buyer
problem.
Protection, but you haven't got seller protection.
I've had that problem before.
Things like that before.
No, I've lost 60 quid and my goods, so eBay can, quite frankly, you'll have to bleep this off.
Fair enough.
Did you lose?
I am so angry.
I'm not really surprised you're angry about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
One thing that annoys me about eBay is the amount of money that you think you've sold something for a good amount of money, and then PayPal take a quid out of it, and then eBay take a quid out of it.
Postage.
And basically,
then you have to pay postage.
Postage you get the buyer to pay postage if you so wish to. But
60 quid, I normally received 54. So when I sold something for 60 quid, which is how I've been keeping myself going financially by selling these things on eBay,
But then someone stitched me up and I'm getting done for it. Well, not getting done for it. I'm being, yeah, you know.
That happened to me when I sold one of my K9s to somebody in, I don't know if it was America or Australia, I can't remember. Oh, New Zealand, I think it was. I miscalculated the postage and I said to them, oh, sorry, I've miscalculated the postage. And he was trying to make out that I was trying to get more money off him and got. And yeah, then he gave me a negative rating.
A bad rating, of, yeah.
Which was really
the people who actually the customer service team at eBay, I have never experienced such a bunch of incompetent in my entire life.
Fair enough.
Quite seriously, I'm so.
I'm not really surprised you've heard of that.
Seriously, they have no idea what they're doing. You know, I'm just.
So anyway, the third item.
You might want to edit that bit out.
I probably will. Doctor Who CMS InVision Complete Lucas. First Doctor Magazine's Very Rare. £221.70 it's currently bid at. There were 10 bids against it. £7.75 postage are basically little sort of comic-y things.
How old is that then?
How old is what?
That magazine.
I don't know if it says, actually, to be honest. It's all in black and white on different coloured material. Doesn't say.
So that means nothing in the world of printing. Well, I mean,
no, it doesn't say. It just says Doctor Who CMS InVision Complete Doctor First Doctor Magazines. That's what it says. It doesn't say
like,
how old.
It's like Doctor Who magazine. I mean, that only had a few colour pages, didn't it? To it start did. Off with weekly.
Yeah.
You're listening to the 20 MB Doctor Who podcast.
Siobhan Galashan has got herself a little puppy and has been posting updates on Facebook and YouTube. The puppy's called Bailey. And yes, it's been quite nice to see these little puppy movies that she's been posting. So, but she did post this morning that she can't keep on posting them. But yes, so yeah.
It seems like lots of people are getting. You know, I've on Facebook at the moment. So many people are posting pictures of puppies. Must be the season for it, I think.
Probably is, actually. It's normally Christmas, isn't it? sorry, I just somebody's posted a very amusing picture of a dog having ripped all the wallpaper off. just sat there in the middle of a pile of wallpaper. Just, oh dear, I'm in trouble.
Just making somewhere to sit.
No, it's just sort of protesting as to being why it's been left alone all day. It's why when dogs do stuff like that. Yeah, so I don't think I can really say much more. Well, I think we're sort of covered. Next week, of course, we've got the little mini episode followed by
Children in Need.
Followed by Christmas Invasion.
Invasion, yeah. But I'm saying that one before, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Did we read Richard Cobb's feedback on Boomtown last time, or
I can't remember.
Got that to read because you forwarded it to me this week.
Okay. Well. Feel free to read it, because I can't remember whether we did or not. Sorry, Richard.
It'd be a bit useless if we had, though.
I don't think...
But I'm also annoyed that you only posted one picture of Paul McGann as well.
Actually, I've got it here. I've got the Richard Culp email. Early feedback, and while it's still fresh in my mind, what a concept, what I'd like. I did not have a late day at work. What can I say about Boomtown? No, I don't think we've had this one. Without having watched it recently, firstly, I enjoyed a single Slithy more than the group of them in the last two-part appearance. The humour was not as childish, yes it was, and more balanced, aka not heavily leaning towards children. This did wonders for them and shows us they are capable of being more in the series of fart gags. Out of the gaggle of Slitheen, I enjoyed the choice of bringing that actress back as she did a great job at the part. Very enjoyable. Another part I enjoyed was how she played at the Doctor's consciousness. True, she was a murderer and had high crimes under her belt, but playing upon the centuries-old Doctor was very brilliant, even if unsuccessful. How many times before and after has the Doctor tried to resolve something without death? Centuries and countless encounters have worn away at him in ways we can hardly imagine. Even for this broken Doctor, he must still wish for a way to allow his enemies a chance for redemption. I don't count that as a weakness, but a mark of a great man. Overall, Boomtown was a great story that allowed us to get a better perspective on the Doctor, who had become slightly tarnished with the passage of time. His time with Rose was a necessary healing period to allow him to regain his balance. Now, on to another topic.
reoccurring villains or monsters. Mm-hmm. While I do agree that the majority of stories should have new monsters, I also believe that the villains or monsters of the past do deserve a chance to reemerge.
Yes.
Like any true fan of the show, yes. We love to see an old foe return. There's no reason they couldn't. They should not be. They should do, what? There is no reason they should not be banned from doing so. the key to the return is how they are used. The macra you mentioned.
The macra.
I'm sure he didn't burp.
He did. It does say the macra. For a prime example of a bad return, for reasons cool. I will say when we get to Gridlock. The story that's Dalek, however, is a prime example of a great use of returning the bursary. Yeah, but that's because... Well, the right story for a returning foe can be exciting. It also provides a way to direct a new fan to the old series if they enjoyed that foe. The key to all of this is not to overuse them. While I enjoyed the Daleks and Cybermen, too much of them does not hurt. Sorry, does hurt. I completely changed the meaning of that, didn't I?
Yes,
just a bit.
While I enjoyed the Daleks and the Cybermen, too much of them does hurt. Especially if they shoot you too often, that does hurt.
I agree about having too many Daleks, but I think we need a few more good Cybermen stories.
Yeah, I think there'll be more next series, actually. I think there'll be more Daleks, more Cybermen than Daleks next year. Anyway, after watching a recon of Enemy of the World, I thought it would be a great idea to see the Salamander again. Sure, he was lost in the time stream when he fell through the open TARDIS door. How come he didn't fall into the swimming pool? Anyway.
No, he fell out of the TARDIS.
He's falling the wrong way.
Out into space, yes.
Yeah. And he threw the open doors of the TARDIS, but did he really die? Please indulge my idea. Imagine he did survive. He was found.
Somebody looks like Pat Troughton,
though. Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe Pat Troughton. Oh, no, he's dead. He was found and in need of hospital care. Do you think anyone would pick up the Salamander and go, take him to hospital, quick?
Well, what he could have, he's fallen out of the TARDIS and his facial injuries are so bad they have to rebuild it and then he can have someone else playing it.
David Troughton.
Yep. They used to do that in American dramas, didn't they, when they were changing the actor.
Well, we're going to do that.
They used to wrap the face up with bandages and then have whack. Them. And then, where do you... Right, that's it. Magic!
You said whack.
I know I did, but that's not the point.
They were going to do that in Dallas, weren't they?
Were they?
This is going to be much before many people's time, but when Pam Ewing crashed into the petrol tanker and somehow survived... they were going to recast the character of Pam, but then they decided not to. They did actually do it for one episode when they had to have someone showing a little bit of her face. But I'm a big Dallas fan. I love Dallas.
Coming actually. Back.
Yeah, it is actually. For 10 episodes. But they'll make more of that. But anyway, yeah, they were going to change.
So when she crashed into the fuel tanker, did it blow up afterwards?
Oh, it blew up big time, but she managed to somehow survive the explosion and... hundreds of tons of petrol pouring onto her while it was burning. She managed to survive, but, you know, hey, it's an American soap opera. What do you expect? Anyway.
Back to the email. Me,
Ben, this also happened over here when we had on Sons and Daughters.
Oh, yes.
One of the characters, I'm not sure quite what happened to her, but she left the show and they thought, wasn't that a good character? Let's bring her back. So they had... She'd just been away to South America, came back with bandages on her face and had plastic. She was a totally different shape and size from the other actress who played her. But
put on weight.
She lost weight, actually.
They don't even bother with the bandages in this country. When they recast two people in EastEnders recently, they wrote them out for 6 months, brought them back to people who were totally different.
They always do that in EastEenders now.
Home and Away, though.
It's so often you get used to it.
Yeah, on Home and Away.
I remember when changed the original Scott Robinson into Jason Donovan.
Yeah.
That seemed to work quite successfully for them.
They do it quite well on Doctor Who, too.
And also, actually, the one that was talking about Australian soaps that changed characters, the one that they did worst, yeah, I suppose, was Pippa at Home and Away, when they literally changed her.
I just saw that recently.
What about in Dallas when they changed...
Miss Ellie.
Miss Ellie, that's right. They had Barbara Belguez, and then...
She had cancer.
Yeah, and then she went out for a whole series.
Yeah, and then she came back again. They brought in Donna Reed, who was obviously in West Side Story.
Yeah.
And the story behind that is that Donna Reed thought she had been brought back in or brought in permanently to play Miss Ellie. But then after Barbara Bel Geddes recovered from cancer, for the next series, they brought back Barbara Bel Geddes, and Donna Reed was pissed off, as you like, and sued Nora for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Successfully, I think, because the contract wasn't for a series, it was for
Occasionally, they used to have these things, American soap operas, where they would say, and this week, the part of so-and-so is played by so-and-so, a completely different actor.
You know. That in Home and Away a little while ago, when one of the characters was ill for a couple of weeks. And it was also
Belinda
in
Emmett.
Sorry? Save me.
You're talking about Belinda Emmett.
Something was just poorly for a couple of episodes, and you know, it's never happened in Doctor Who that someone's poorly.
But this is just a theatre thing, isn't it? It's no big deal. Now, I think EastEnders have done quite a good job of, you know, just replacing actors playing characters, because it's just a bit of theatre at the end of the day.
Bloody awful. But the best is definitely when they changed Pippa in Home and Away, where she was literally standing at the kitchen sink.
Vanessa Downing.
Yeah, at the end of one episode, and then the beginning of the next episode, she changed into the other one, and it was like, what?
Because
there was that thing going on with Fisher at that
time.
Itchy
Glow.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's talking to a whole different Pippa as so,
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the email.
Tom died in Home and Away. That was sad, wasn't it, when he had the car crash?
I know.
That's
all the time at Home and Away.
That was good, Home and Away. But now it's rotten. Anyway, at the end.
It's always rubbish.
Cole. No, he writes a little bit. We were talking about the salamander, weren't we?
We were, yes.
Months of years of care, he recovered and got back to full health. He's also probably had some plastic surgery to explain why he looks different. Now imagine he has worked his way back into wealth and power and sees a blue box appear. What do you have? You have a story of a man who wants revenge. A man that...
Did he see the blue box in Enemy of the World, though? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well, he got into it.
And he fell out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I mean, I suppose with the redesign
got into it in the dark.
With the redesign of the TARDIS in New Who, now obviously you haven't got those great big white doors to fall out of. It's a harder job to fall out of. Maybe that's why they did it. Maybe health and safety had a look at it and went, "No, we need to make those doors smaller." Anyway, done properly, this could be a great story. Since I've rambled on quite a bit, but not as much as us. I will bid you a good day until next week. Lots of love and hugs and kisses from Richard.
Aww. Ew.
Sorry, stars making squeaky.
Are you kissing a man? Are you John Barrowman?
Anyway, I think now about it, I'll probably ties it up. I've got to start cooking the dog's dinner. Thank you all for joining the show.
I haven't had my Benny Hill moment of the episode.
If you want to send in an email, please do so to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20. How many times do you interrupt my blimmin' email address?
Once.
No! Every blimmin' week. Come here, magic.
Episode.
Come here, magic. Come on, Right, you've got to attack Robert. No! See that one there, that flashing one on the thing there. You know it's flashing because he keeps interrupting. Right, attack. Good boy. And that one, right then. Yes, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20MB. Would you... What? Just stop touching the microphone.
My leg.
My kingdom for a leg.
I've got you up here to help me out, not to interrupt me. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please send some emails in and some audio and stuff. Money, yes. If you want to donate to the podcast, please go to our website. At the 20mb.2podcast.podbean.com. There's a button on there that you can donate via PayPal. And we need the money!
Yeah, I know. £7 a pack of fags. If you want to donate £7, you can buy me some ciggies. That'd be lovely.
Until next week.
If you want to donate a laptop, that'd
when
be
we'll be moving into the Tennant era of Doctor Who.
Ooh.
It's goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye,
Pim.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.